we talk to the biggest names in religion today, liberal bishop John Shelby Spong.
I don't think Jesus ever preached the Sermon on the Mount, for example. I don't believe anybody ever took 5 loaves and 2 fish and fed 5,000 people. I don't believe that's possible to do.
Liberal Bible critic Bart Ehrman.
There's a difference between what the historical Jesus actually said and what the Gospels say he said. And to understand what the historical Jesus was really like, we have to get behind the Gospels.
Muslim critic of Christianity Reza Aslan.
By definition, the resurrection is an ahistorical event, and so therefore historians have no right, no business commenting upon it.
Where else on Christian radio will you hear these guests challenged with important questions? Talk radio for the thinking Christian, Issues, etc. Listen live or on demand at issuesetc.org.
He was studying 1 Corinthians 13, which happens to be one of my favorite passages. Love never fails, it tells us. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things.
The mindset of the entire anti-university or multiversity is trying to drive home the point that there is no meaning in life. You are your own God. Do what you will do for your own sake. Pay us $40,000 a year to do it here.
The story of the changing of water to wine already has within it important references to Jesus' death.
Hello. I want to say that foreigners with English as a second language also love Issues, etc. Bye.
It's called An Appeal to Our Fellow Catholics and to All Men and Women of Good Will. It has its immediate byline, Robert George and George Weigel. Then at the bottom, you could read a who's who of Roman Catholics thinkers in and outside Washington, D.C. And it uses the word demagogue and applies it to GOP presidential frontrunner Donald Trump. We're going to be talking about that open letter to fellow Catholics and to men and women of goodwill here in the first half hour with Issues, etc. Greetings and welcome. We're coming to you live this Friday afternoon, March the 11th. I'm Todd Wilkin, and thanks for tuning us in a little bit later. Dr. Jeff Gibbs will join us. We'll be responding to liberal proof text today, Matthew's Gospel and Liberation Theology. Pastor Chris Roseboro joins us for This Week in Pop American Christianity. We'll talk about Rob Bell's new book, How to Be Here, A Guide to Creating Life Worth Living. And then we'll play Issues, Etc., Soundbite of the Week. Dr. Robert George is a regular guest. He joins us to talk about Roman Catholics and GOP presidential candidate Donald Trump. He's professor of jurisprudence at Princeton University and visiting professor at Harvard University Law School, co-author of An Appeal to Our Fellow Catholics. Dr. George, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thank you very much, Todd. It's good to be back on the show.
In this appeal to our fellow Catholics and to all men and women of goodwill, you use the term demagogue. What does it mean, and why do you apply it to Donald Trump?
Let me tell you exactly what it means. A demagogue is a person who seeks political power by exploiting people's fears. Often they're justified fears, but exploiting people's fears and promising them that he, by the exercise of his will and authority, can solve the problems. Simple solutions are answered. Complex problems are made simple. People are asked very often to abandon their principles or even limit their own freedoms, putting them in the hands of the demagogue who will then use them to solve people's problems. It's like some sort of protection racket. You give me your freedom, you abandon your principles, and in return I will protect you from the great things that make you fearful. Now, and this is precisely what we're seeing in Mr. Trump.
How do you respond to someone who says, look, you're just talking about all politicians here. They all have a little demagogue in them. Why single out Trump?
Well, it may be true, actually. It's not true of all politicians, but many politicians, of course, offer simplistic solutions and appeal to people's fears. But not all ask people to give up their basic moral principles. Not all say, let's kill the families of terrorists, the innocent wives and children or grandparents of terrorists. Not all say, we will limit the First Amendment, the freedom of the press. Rewrite the constitutional law protecting the media in order to achieve the goals that people want to achieve. Not everyone offers very simple solutions that just say, you rely on my force of will or on my pure personal skills. I will build a wall and that will solve our immigration problem. As a matter of fact, of course, everyone knows or should know that it won't, because so many people who are here unlawfully are here unlawfully not because they came into the country unlawfully, but because they're overstaying their visas. That's a real problem. It needs to be solved. People are right to be concerned about and even angry about the breakdown of our immigration system and unlawful immigration. But what the demagogue is offering is a very simplistic solution. Same with China, saying, I'll solve our problem, our economic trade problem, with China by slapping a 45% tariff on Chinese goods. As one of his opponents in the debate explained the other day, you know who that will hurt? The very people he's promising to help. People who purchase their goods at Walmart and Target, people who rely on reasonable prices because they themselves don't have unlimited resources, as Mr. Trump has. They will be the victims of that. It sounds very good when a demagogue makes that promise. But in the end, of course, what happens is the people who are supposed to be helped by it end up being the ones who are hurt by it. Other politicians are not saying, I'm going to slap a 45% tariff on Chinese goods and thereby solve our problems. So, you know, there are lots of politicians I don't like. There's some that I do like. There's some that I greatly admire. But this is a special case of someone who I think is really quite dramatically exploiting the justified fears. I agree that the fears are justified. I have them myself. Exploiting the justified fears of people in order to gain power by promising simplistic solutions and by demanding that we abandon our basic principles and our own freedom in order to achieve these goals.
I'm alarmed by kind of the candidacy, the rhetoric of a man like Donald Trump, and I think it ought to alarm people of both goodwill and reason. But I think I'm more alarmed by the groundswell of support for him. How do you explain it, Dr. George?
It's the justifiable fear that people have and the anger that people have at the political class and at our economic and cultural elites. On these points, Mr. Trump is correct. He's right that the system has too often been rigged and rigged against ordinary people. We've had, 20 years now, perhaps more, of wage stagnation for our middle class? And that's because we've got a rigged economic system that really does have to be fixed. The problem is not the free market, of course. The problem is the crony capitalism that corrupts the market. What we actually need is a freer market. And what crony capitalism is doing is shackling our market in order to benefit those who are already well off. Mr. Trump is absolutely right about that problem. But what he doesn't reveal is that he himself has participated in it. When he claims, brags, boasts that he buys politicians, he buys influence, he's part of the very crony capitalism problem that has created our wage stagnation. Immigration is a real problem. Illegal immigration is a real problem. We should all welcome lawful immigration. Immigration has built our country. We should have no bias or prejudice against immigrants, and most Americans don't. But they rightly want a lawful system, and they want people to obey the law. That's correct. But we can't offer simplistic solutions telling people that simply by building a wall, we're going to solve this problem, because the reality is, for reasons I explained a moment ago, we're not. There's a real problem with trade. We don't solve that problem by slapping a 45% tariff on goods from one of our biggest trading partners. The reason why? It's going to hurt people who rely on goods decently made at decent prices. We need to make our own company, our own country, and our own industries more competitive. There are ways to do that, but they're not simple ways. So he's offering very simplistic solutions that will never help to very serious problems, and people are right to perceive those problems, and they're right to be angry that other politicians have not solved them.
You write about causes at the center of Catholic social concern in the United States, legal protection for the unborn, defending religious freedom, and rebuilding our marriage culture. Is there anything that Donald Trump has stated that seems to be consistent with those Catholic social concerns?
Well, he seems to have had campaign conversions, as they're called, on all of these issues. Suddenly, after being radically pro-abortion, even defending and embracing promoting partial birth abortion, Mr. Trump suddenly comes out and says that he's pro-life. Well, to tell you the truth, I would need some evidence that he's actually pro-life. He hasn't given us that. He has been willing to say that he would defund Planned Parenthood, but then he tells us that he doesn't want to drive Planned Parenthood out of business because, of course, they do so many wonderful things for women. Well, they don't. We do not and should not, we should not, actually we do, but we should not be giving public money of any kind, and no one should, of course, be contributing privately, to an organization that murders the unborn, that slaughters the unborn in the systematic way that we have with Planned Parenthood. It's disgraceful that the public is implicated in that by governmental funding, taxpayer funding, and the same with the marriage issue. He's not lifted a finger to advance the cause of rebuilding marriage and the family. And about his own boastfulness in his own books about his adultery and his other sexual misconduct, well, perhaps the less said about that, that the better. But he certainly has not lived a personal life that we would want to hold up for our children. And to make it worse, instead of at least keeping quiet about it, he boasts about it in his books, or goes on to Howard Stern's television show and boasts about his sexual prowess. You know, even in these debates, when he's supposed to be putting a good face on, he seems not to be able to stop himself from boasting about the alleged size of his genitals. I hate to even say these things to your audience, but it tells you what kind of man we have here, a demagogue.
My concern is, one of my big concerns has to do with a statement he made recently where he talks about opening up libel laws in order to go after newspapers. I think he was talking in this case about the Washington Post that he believes are writing inaccurate or derogatory things about him. Does that have a connection in your mind legally, Dr. George, with not only freedom of the press, but freedom of religion?
Well, it certainly has a connection with freedom of the press, no question about that. And this is the point that I brought up earlier when he's asking us to sacrifice our freedoms. It also relates to another point I made earlier. He's exploiting genuine concerns and fears. It's not that the fears and concerns are made up. Look, the media has behaved very, very badly, very badly. We have a biased mainstream media, in many ways a disgraceful mainstream media. But the way to correct that is not by putting limitations on freedom of the press. The way to correct that is by building media who will compete with the biased media and give the American people objective reporting. So we should be fleeing from any man who actually reveals himself to be a demagogue by saying, I will fix this genuine problem, a biased media, by restricting your freedom. Remember that the freedom of the press is our freedom. It's not just the freedom of the Washington Post and the New York Times. It's the freedom of every American who wishes to express his opinion, to go online, to post a comment, to post a criticism of a politician or of the government. We are all beneficiaries of the right to freedom of the press, and we've got to protect it. On the question of freedom of religion, here once again, I haven't seen Mr. Trump so much as lift a finger in support of the people who really need to be supported, the bakers and the photographers, the physicians and the healthcare workers who in the first couple of cases are being imposed upon to participate in or lend their artistic or professional skills to same-sex ceremonies. And in the second case is those who are being pressured to perform abortions or participate in abortions or refer to abortions. Those are serious religious freedom and conscience problems, issues that we have in our country. And there have been politicians, including some of the ones who are running for office now, competing with Mr. Trump, or have competed with him before dropping out, who really have tried to help on these issues. But what has Mr. Trump done? As far as I can see, absolutely nothing. Trump claims to be for the American people, who will make America great again. But Trump is for Trump. If I can use his rhetoric, believe me, Trump is for Trump.
Two quick final questions for you, Dr. George, and thanks for being generous with your time. The one thing that the President of the United States swears to do upon taking office is to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. Have you seen any evidence that Donald Trump understands what's in the U.S. Constitution?
No, any more than I've seen any evidence that Barack Obama understands the Constitution. This is the terrible situation we find ourselves in. There are politicians, and I need to be very blunt here. It's not just Mr. Trump. It's Barack Obama. It is Hillary Clinton, who seem to have no understanding of the Constitution at all. Or if they have an understanding, they must have contempt for it, because their actions consistently are inconsistent with the Constitution. The president's attempt to govern by edicts with his executive orders, his celebration of obviously, manifestly outrageous Supreme Court rulings like the same-sex marriage ruling, after which he actually lit up the White House in rainbow colors to celebrate that. This shows that he doesn't have the slightest idea what the Constitution means. We do need a president who will go back to the constitutional principle of limited government. Again, some of the people who have been competing and still are competing with Mr. Trump for the Republican nomination do express an understanding of that. Mr. Trump does not, nor does Mrs. Clinton, nor does President Obama. All of them seem to want to dismiss the separation of powers doctrine, the federalism doctrine, the Bill of Rights protections that we all rely on as Americans for our fundamental freedom.
Finally, Dr. George, what kind of feedback have you gotten on your open letter and appeal to our fellow Catholics?
Well, I'm sorry to say that I've gotten quite a bit of negative feedback. I don't mind criticism, but some of it really has been extremely hostile, some of it indeed over the line and threatening, because people have, many people have, bought Mr. Trump's demagoguery, I'm afraid. I don't have contempt for my fellow citizens, not at all. And many of them, I'm sure, are working on their best judgment, and maybe I'm wrong, and maybe they're right. Perhaps I'm missing something in Mr. Trump that they're seeing. I don't want to rule that possibility out. But using my best judgment, I just don't get it. And the kinds of responses I'm getting from Mr. Trump's supporters, are very often really hostile responses that say Trump's going to fix all our problems, and you know, you're a very bad person. Sometimes they use much more profane language than very bad person to describe me because you're criticizing him. But really, I'm pleading with my fellow Americans, my fellow citizens, Catholics, Lutherans, people of all faiths, and all people of goodwill. I'm just pleading, do not be taken in by this man. We have seen demagogues before. They all behave in the same way. It's easy answers to serious problems. It's exploiting people's fear. This man, Mr. Trump's middle name could be infidelity, whether it's his personal life, whether it's his business life, whatever it is. And so I am pleading with my fellow citizens, don't be taken in. He will betray you. He will be unfaithful to you. Please don't let yourself be his next Ivana or Marla.
Dr. Robert George is professor of jurisprudence at Princeton University and visiting professor at Harvard University Law School, co-author of An Appeal to Our Fellow Catholics. You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. George, you've been very generous. Thank you again for your time. Keep up
Thank
the good
you.
Work.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Dr. Jeff Gibbs responding to liberal proof text. Our series continues on this Friday afternoon. We're going to talk about Matthew's gospel and liberation theology. Is the kingdom of God something that we establish here through social justice? And when Jesus says, when you have done this to the least of these, my brothers, you have done it unto me, is that what he was talking about? Mere liberation theology. We'll be right back.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Join us for the third annual Metro East Home and Garden Show, March 12th and 13th, to benefit the Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. Featuring over 40 vendors, home and garden experts, pet adoption services, and register to win offers like a big green egg grill from Hearthside Grill and Fireplace in Belleville, and two round-trip airfares to Cancun, Mexico, courtesy of Travel Express and Apple Vacations in Edwardsville. Parking and admission are free. Learn more at mehgs.org. Media coverage powered by Riverbender and EdGlennToday.com.
Talk radio for the Christian worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority, they've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
Listen. Listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.